You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Heavenly Father, I pray at this time that the word that goes forth, that remains, that abides, would not be my words, but you, Lord Jesus, the living word, in whom we find our life and our salvation. Amen. I love our hymn before the sermon. I do have one sermon hymn requirement, is that it should make the congregation sad. That is a, it's a beautiful melancholy hymn. It's one of my favorites, which maybe that says more about myself than I want to reveal. It's a beautiful hymn. It speaks to part of what we see in the lessons, the text before us today, the paradox, where the peace of God is found, where our security is found, where our life is found, and that is found in the place of the cross. What Paul describes rightly is seeming folly to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it's nothing short of the truth of God, the glory of God, the peace of God. And both this portion of Paul's letter to the Corinthians and Matthew's gospel as well, one of the things that we see happening is that the light is going forth into the darkness. The people in need of God's pursuit, the people in need of God's saving, the people in need of God's gathering. It doesn't go forth into safe and secure and holy spaces. It goes into places like Corinth. It goes into places like Galilee, where there is the mix of people there, where the light needs to shine, where the grace of God, which is to say the world and the human condition, you and me, the light of God that needs to come into our darkness, the grace of God that needs to come into our unrest, the salvation of God that needs to come into our lives. And I don't know if you are like me, and to some degree I envision that you are, and that one of the things I struggle with is I want to get it right. I want to get it right. I want to understand. I want to figure things out. And often a part of that is trying to understand my own life as well. And one of the things that for many years, it's funny, and I guess I'm always looking for something to assign my problems to because they don't originate in me. They come from outside. And so one of the things as I was growing up in a regular neighborhood, we moved often when I was growing up. Typically about every 3 years we would move to a new place. And when I was younger, I was convinced that that's why I had issues, was because we moved, and I longed to have that sense of rootedness, that sense of place, a sense of belonging. If we didn't move, if we stayed at one place, then I would be peaceful. I'd be secure. I wouldn't have the issues that I had. And I can remember late in life, my sisters and I were sitting around the dining room table with my dad, and this is at the end of his life, and he's there in his wheelchair sitting with us. And Dad looks at us, and I had a great, great dad, loved Dad. I miss Dad. And Dad looked at us and he said, "You know, we moved all the time and it never bothered y'all." And I was just like, "You know what, Dad, you're absolutely right. God bless you." You're kind of one of those at that moment, but it's funny because we so often, do we not, live life in reaction, and not only in reaction, but then overcompensation as well. And one of the things I can remember, thought, you know what, I'm not going to do that to my kids. My kids are going to grow up in a place, and they're going to have that sense of rootedness that I wish that I had, that sense of consistency. And then my kids are grown now, and I can remember telling them at one point, you know, I really kind of struggled this when I was younger, and I wanted to make sure that y'all had a place and that consistency, that you had a place, that you weren't moving. And one of my kids said, "I would have been happy to move." And why do I share that with you? We want to get it right, and we never get it quite right. We want to control what we can't control. That's so much the ongoing issue of life. We want to have knowledge beyond our knowledge. We want to have control beyond our control. We want to get it right in a way which is beyond our ability. We want to help. But the message that comes to us through the gospel is, rather than our holding it together, that our Lord Jesus Christ comes into the world that he might hold us together, rather than you and me trying to hold it together, whether it be our own lives, with the lives of the people around us or the world around us, or whatever particular outcomes we think need to come about. Rather than our holding it together, we have the Lord Jesus Christ who comes and holds it together. Paul arrived in Corinth, and perhaps you remember this. Paul had been treated roughly amongst the Macedonians and had gone to Athens, and there in Athens the church had been founded, but not with any a particular great success had it been founded. And Paul arrives in Corinth, and Corinth was a challenging mission field, not only because of its well-known vice. To act the Corinthian was a phrase during biblical times, but also it was a melting pot of all sorts of different races and ethnicities and beliefs and professions. It was a challenging place to do life and ministry. And as Paul arrives in Corinth, as he arrives from Athens, one of the things that we know about Paul in that particular moment is that he would have arrived weary. He would have been weary physically from the abuse and the persecution which he had experienced. He would have arrived weary emotionally. All the challenges and the trials and the tribulations and the things that he had been through. And even just when you're going about life and ministry, or you're just going about life and things aren't taking root the way that you want them to take root, things aren't going the way that you want them to go, and that can be wearying mentally as well. And he was weary spiritually. And he was without, at this point, Silas and Timothy, his friends and his partners in the gospel. And he arrives, and Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, he said, not only did I not come with any particular eloquence of my own, but quite frankly, I was scared, is what he said. I felt weary, and I felt overwhelmed, and I felt... Paul said, basically, I felt like a preacher, is just what he said to the people. I showed up, and I wanted to have it. I didn't feel quite like I had it, was what Paul says of the people of Corinth. But he holds out this phenomenal word to you and to me. And it is at the heart of our faith, our security, our life is not something that we produce. It is something given to us, and it's given to us. We are reconciled necessarily, wonderfully, graciously, through the sacrificial love of God. We understand our lives. We understand our world around us. We have a grounding that cannot be taken away from us, looking through the lens of the cross and the resurrection. One of the things that you may remember of Mark's gospel, one of the things that is seemingly unique about Mark's gospel and differs to some degree from the other gospel authors, is the command to silence. When Jesus does a mighty work on a person, is healed, they're commanded to silence, which again seems that's not what your Sunday school teacher told you, right? And in writing on that, James Edwards writes something, and I think he's absolutely right about this. The reason that was in place for a period of time, well, not only, of course, was the fact that Jesus wouldn't have the demons being his spokespeople, but beyond that, what Edwards writes, and I think he's right, is that as much as they sought to understand God, as much as they start to understand Jesus, as much as His followers sought to understand their lives and the world around them. The truth was, they would not be prepared until they would not know in the way that God longs for us to know, until they saw the world through the lens of the cross and through the resurrection. As Jesus is going about healing, as Jesus is going about doing ministry, they had in mind the type of Savior who would be much like a king. And one of the things we see Paul speaking to the Corinthians about was the divisions, the cliques, the fractions that had arisen within the community. And Paul writes here of his tremendous concern for this. And it's not surprising because we're all looking for a hero, right? We're all looking for a Savior. There's a great line about it. Paul Simon, in one of his songs, every generation grows a hero at the pop charts. If you remember that, if you remember that line, or it's funny, I mentioned earlier, if you want something more recent, and I mentioned the Foo Fighters, and then I realized, actually, none of my musical references are recent. I think you need Jay. You need Jay for that. But if you think about that song by the Foo Fighters, My Hero, by Dave Grohl sings, "There goes my hero. Watch him as he goes." But interestingly, it goes on, it says, "There goes my hero, he's ordinary," is what the song says. We long for a hero, and we long for a person in whom we can place our hopes. But there's a balance here, because part of what Paul is saying as he writes the Corinthians is we have this deep need of one another. This need we have of one another is something given by God and created by God. We have a deep need of the community of faith. This is something which is a treasure, something to be cherished. And yet, by way of the balance, one of the challenges of the human condition is we look for people to be our saviors. And we look for people to do what is beyond our ability to do. But we have a Savior, is what Paul comes to say. You and I are people who are loved and saved into salvation by the decision of God, who comes to seek us in Jesus, who comes to pursue us, who lays down his life, who takes it up again. It's the glory of God revealed to us in the shocking way through the means of the cross. And that is the security and the salvation which nothing can take away from us. That's the light that's able to penetrate any darkness. That's what's able to come and bring about life and healing in a way in which no individual can, in which we cannot ourselves. And all of our best intentions, God comes to reach and to save and to restore and to secure us as his own. And he does so through the means of the cross. What seems like folly, what seems like weakness, is actually the very power of God which has come forth into the world. Heavenly Father, you know the ways in which we try to secure ourselves. And we thank you that you have come to save and to secure us. You've poured out your love and grace upon us in Jesus, your Son, and his cross and his resurrection. Lord, so ground our lives in that, with you and with one another, that no one and nothing will be able to separate us from you. And all this we ask in your name, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you will join us at one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.